Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, a part of the Dead End Podcast Network. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, and all other podcasting services. Please make sure you check out Dead End Hip Hop, Dead End Sports, Dead End Gaming, Is the Mic Still On, Chris Platt's Strictly Hip Hop and Hoops Talk, and a host of other shows on our podcast network. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. To Any Given Sunday, the Monday edition for Monday, July 19th. It may be Tuesday by the time you watch this or listen to this. So Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. I am your host, Manny Brown, as always, joined by my co-host, Josh Rodriguez. Josh, what is good?
What's going on, man? Now, in the background, you'll notice there's leaves. I clicked that background by accident, and now StreamYard won't let me unclick it. So we're going to have leaves in the background for
We have a very fall-centric any given Sunday / Monday / Tuesday.
You literally will not let me do anything.
Listen, we're winging it. I'm in that weird in between phase where I haven't shaved my head.
Same, so I've got hat on.
Fuzzy. So yeah, don't mind me with the hoodie. I'm not just trying to be whatever. I'm trying not to be a menacing black man. I promise, white America. Okay. I'm just wearing a hoodie because I haven't shaved. So yeah, what's good, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I was at the Big Three over the weekend in Las Vegas. That was fun.
How was that?
A lot of fun. That was good. Went there for Ball's Life to try to get some audio for the company. I failed miserably, but I made some connections, and that's all that really matters.
That's all that matters.
How was your weekend?
That's why we couldn't do the show yesterday. Josh Bigfooted us. He was coming back from Vegas, you know, on assignment. We'll call it that. On assignment.
Traffic was crazy yesterday.
Nah, you're good, man. I'd rather you get home safe than try to rush back and then.
I'm just saying, it was wild.
not for sure, man. For sure, I get it. Yeah, I heard that traffic from Vegas to LA can be death sometimes. So no, totally understand. No worries, man. So I'm sorry if we were going live yesterday. I had people reach out to me like, hey, I was waiting and you guys didn't go live. Like,
Blame it on Josh.
No, it's all good. Hey, it's life, man. We're not Stephen A. Smith. Private jets flying all over the place and saying stupid things about Nigerians and
soon though. Soon.
Japanese. Soon. We're working on it. Yeah. Leaves in the background. Embrace debate, baby. The fall edition. Nah, man, I'm good. I'm actually I pulled triple duty today, man. This is my third podcast. I did MLB Ooh. Bro with Mark Gray. Shout out to Mark Gray.
Oh, nice.
A dope little segment earlier today. And then I did my wrestling pod, I Am Not Dave, pop wrestling podcast. That'll be dropping on Wednesday with my great friend Jeffrey, Jeff Jones. Shout out to Jeff. And then I'm here, of course, doing the flagship. So yeah, for sure, man. It's three consecutive podcasts. It ties a world record for me anyway.
That's amazing. I actually just did an episode of The Dime. So like you and I, man, we're grinding today.
Hey, listen, this is what we do for y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? I could have told Josh like, yo, man, forget it. You know, we'll just drop an episode on next Sunday or whatever.
Nope.
Nah, man, we here dropping dope content. Commitment. Late in the evening, early morning on the East Coast. This is what we do. Okay. I ain't shaved. He hasn't shaved. You know, let's go, man. This is what we do.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. But you ready? Well, I wanted to start with basketball, but the games itself. But no, I got to get this out of the way first. Can we please stop with the Space Jam hate? America, please. Like, this has been bothering me now for the last week. Now, look, I am never one that missed an opportunity to dunk on LeBron James. You guys know how. You've listened to the show long enough. And for the folks that are new, checking in live for the first time, I am a card-carrying LeBron James hater. Yes, I am a Laker fan as well. It's weird.
Right.
We don't have enough time to get into all the machinations.
Well, there are a lot of Laker fans who hate on him. It's not an abnormal thing. You're not out of form here.
Right. But I don't have all the time to explain. I don't have this much time to explain all the particulars. Just know that I am a card-carrying LeBron James member.
I've seen the card. It is a hater card.
It's real. It's real.
It is.
Stamped and laminated. You know it's real when it's laminated. Listen, I never miss an opportunity to dunk on this man. But come on, man. Seriously, Space Jam, this is what we've resorted to. Like, I know the GOAT discussion is always going to be there. It's always going to be a thing. I'm so over it, by the way. Like, I don't even engage with it anymore.
I was over like 2 years ago, man.
I've been over it. I have no interest in resuming it, in engaging in it. But I know it's a real thing for some people, especially in this content heavy world that we live in. It's a real thing to just, you know, you just throw out there, who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron? And you're going to get instant comments about whatever. So I get it. But come on, man. Like, stop with this thing. First and foremost, it's a fucking kids movie. Like, legit a kids movie. And I know that we live in a world where kids movies get nominated for Academy Awards and all that. Listen, when I say it's a kids movie on the level of like Rescue Rangers. it's not Toy Story 3.
You know? Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Oh, it's not Coco. Let's just put it that way.
No.
When I say kids movie, like basic surface level animation mixed with a hint of like message for the kiddies. That's what I mean by kids movie. All right. It's a kids movie. It wasn't made for 30-year-olds. It wasn't made for 35-year-old men like this. It just was not. It was not. I'm sorry. And I know we're all nerds. I'm a nerd. You're a nerd. We're all nerds. Yeah. We like nerd shit. But come on, sit here and spend hours upon hours on social media bagging Space Jam, writing I literally scrolled through Facebook and seen people with dissertations about why the 96 Space Jam was better than Space Jam: A New Legacy. Right. Like, seriously, this is what we're doing.
Well,
this is we're doing.
It's ridiculous. And as
we have a homelessness crisis, we have people that are still dying from COVID, but Space Jam: A New Legacy is the crime against humanity that we cannot stay shut.
It's a very important issue, Manny. I actually just discovered the banner option on StreamYard, so I have Leave Space Jam Alone going across the button. Those of you who are watching, that is something I just discovered. I'm going to have a ridiculous time with. Get used to it.
Yes.
Unlike Manny, I don't carry a LeBron hater card. I actually work for the man, so I can't publicly say anything bad about him.
He signs the checks. His name's on the bottom of the check there. It'll be a little awkward.
With that said, if you are someone who is overanalyzing, over critiquing a movie for 8-year-olds, for like the demographic of this movie is like 4 to 12. Like if you bring your children to the movie, they enjoy it, that should be the litmus test. Period. That's it. Did your son or daughter like the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, they did? That's all.
My daughters who don't watch basketball, they wanted to watch Space Jam because of McDonald's cartoon, because of the McDonald's toys and the Happy Meal.
Right.
They were into it. They loved it. They loved everything about it. They enjoyed it. That's it.
That's all that's
important.
That's all
that matters.
There should be no movie critic writing this up. A matter of fact, we should get like 8-year-olds from like urban neighborhoods to write movie reviews on Space Jam, and those should be the official reviews.
I'm with it.
That'd be great.
Listen, if it wasn't late, I'd have my kids right now dropping a dissertation about why Space Jam: A New Legacy is like the greatest movie ever. Like,
that is more valid.
That's what it is. Come on. It's a fucking kids movie, guys. Like, come on, literally. And then the other thing too, the idea that Michael was all of a sudden, Michael Jordan was Sidney Poitier back in 1996. Like,
right.
You know, it was a masterclass in acting. Like, it was Denzel Training Day. It was Al Pacino, Serpico, Scent of a Woman, Michael Jordan, in that order, like literally in that order. Great performances throughout history, you know. James Dean, James Stewart, Michael Jordan, Space Jam. Hallowed performances. Stop it,
I saw
please.
Some like criticisms of Zendaya as Lola Bunny. Like, they didn't like the fact that she was Lola. I saw some weird things of like the fact that Lola looks different this time around.
Right.
And they don't like the little upgrades that they did.
Because I'm sorry that there's no display of bunny tits. Or bunny cleavage. So apparently now this is a crime against humanity. Now we're too woke as a society because Lola Bunny can't show her ass.
The left is taking cancel culture way too far.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You're right.
We've won. We've accomplished the ultimate goal.
We did it, left.
In the annals of time, it was like Medicare for all.
Right.
It was Medicare for all.
And put some clothes on Lola. Clothes for Lola.
Right. Even my dog agrees. She's out there in the garage just mad now because... You know,
we did
A, because I put her in the garage, and B, because
we dressed Lola Bunny. We did it
because we dressed Lola Bunny. Yeah, no, it listen, Yes, I know. I know, Duchess. I know. It's terrible. Listen, again, like again, and I will never miss an opportunity to bag on LeBron James, but come on. We got to have we got to have better things to talk about than Space Jam. No, you know, I mean, and it wasn't even like people were just like, oh, I think it sucked, or oh, it wasn't as good as I thought it would be. Like, no, people literally writing dissertations about this shit.
Yeah.
And man,
it's ridiculous.
Scene by scene. I mean, what are you, Roger Ebert? What the fuck? Like, this is guy. Come on, man, stop it. And again, Michael was not Sidney Poitier.
No.
No one will confuse Michael Jordan with
Space Jam alone, people.
With Marlon Brando. Right. No one.
No.
No one. Space Jam 96 was not Apocalypse Now. It was not.
It's the only criteria is, did your kids like the movie? That's it. Move on.
That is it. That is it.
Move on.
That is the only criteria that should exist. And that is it. And that's the only criteria that I'm sticking with. So, you know, and it's the number one movie in the world right now. And
it is
unseated Black Widow and all those things. So it was a success. People took their kids to go watch it. And yeah, man, credit to
how many stars, man? How many stars?
It was a solid 2-star movie, man.
Stars.
It's solid. It's 2.5 stars. It's, you know, two and a half stars.
It's a solid
movie. You know, you take your kid, they have a good time. It's a good movie, man. It's fine.
We should have never went live. I'm going to have too much fun with this.
Way too much.
There's leaves in the background.
Two and a half stars. 2.5 stars, man. But yeah, man, shout out to all the creators of Space Jam. It was a successful weekend for LeBron. That is cool for LeBron to have the number one
absolutely
movie in America.
Man. And Space Jam was such a big part of my childhood. If I'm going to get serious, and I think that's the reason why some people are so nostalgic for it. It's like, oh, you can't top it. Also, this is all another thing. I actually think a lot of people attach the music and the soundtrack from the first Space Jam and apply it to what the movie was. The soundtrack was so legendary. And listen,
The soundtrack was dope.
I didn't listen to this second Space Jam soundtrack.
Minus a certain someone who believed he could fly.
Oh, let's not get into that. Yeah, but aside from that, like, there were other bangers and dope songs on that.
Yeah.
On that soundtrack too. So I think a lot of people just have an attachment to just the nostalgia of not just the movie, but the music and the culture that surrounds it. And Michael Jordan being in the peak of his profession. Like, when that Space Jam came out, I mean, it was just like everything wrapped into one. It was just total 90s nostalgia. And I think people missed that. You know, LeBron, he's at the end of his career. He's on the Lakers. He was injured this year. The Lakers not fighting for a championship. The soundtrack, I'm not saying it was good or bad. I haven't listened to it, but
is there even a soundtrack?
I know, like, Game has a song, like, and I think The Baby has a song. I'm not really sure. But yeah, exactly. To your point, is there even a soundtrack? Which pretty much shows that the soundtrack's not on par with the first one. So I just think it's more of the nostalgia that's getting to people.
Yeah, listen, I get it. I'm all for nostalgia. I'm right there with you. I grew up on the original Space Jam. I'm just, again, at some point, adults have to be adults. And, like, to sit here and write essays and passages, books and thesis statements on why Space Jam is better than Space Jam: A New Legacy, it's stupid. Like, stop. Yeah. Like, when boomers criticize us for being like nerdy millennials and all we care about is kid shit, like, this is what they point at. This thing here. This is that.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. We've already paid attention too much. But listen, it's a good movie. If you want to take your kids, or if you're at home and you can't afford to go to a theater and you're at home and you got HBO Max, or a family member has HBO Max, check it out. It's dope. It's dope. And the kids will enjoy it, I think. So yeah, it's cool. But the other big news item of this weekend, we may be 48 minutes away from a championship.
Maybe.
Yeah, we may be. The Milwaukee Bucks come away with an impressive victory in Game 5. Very great. Very good game. Very good game. Great game. Great game. Game 5. To me, what makes a great game is just that ebbs and flows. You know, it's a constant just ebb and flow of emotions, of storylines, of moments. You know, the Suns being up 16, the Bucks coming back to tie it and eventually take the lead, then eventually taking a big lead going into the fourth quarter, the Suns having a furious comeback, being on the precipice of winning the game, and then, of course, having it snatched away from them literally and figuratively. And then, obviously, the Bucks, and then Giannis with an incredible alley-oop. dunk there at the end play. And just all time an all time play there. And that's what makes a recipe for a great iconic game. And I think this will be the game of this postseason, I think, in my opinion. And let's talk about game five, man. First and foremost, man, I think that the Bucks deserve to win. Pretty much from the second quarter on, they dominated the game. I know the Suns had a furious comeback there late in the fourth quarter. Give credit to them. They kept fighting. But the Bucks pretty much dominated the game from the second quarter on. I thought the best team won. Drew Holiday, the performance that he had. Obviously, everybody's going to talk about Giannis. Everybody's going to talk about Middleton. But Drew Holiday was the X factor, as he is the guy that all of us think he is.
He plays well, they win. It's what it's been the whole series.
There's no arguing that. He is the X factor for them. If he plays well, and obviously I don't think anybody expects him to have, 27 points again. But if he if he has his normal 15 to 20 points, that team is going to win more games than not. So he played really, really well. I thought the game was won in the second quarter. I know everybody's going to pinpoint the steal and then of course the alley, but I thought the game was won in the second quarter. You know, to come out and get punched in the mouth the way the Bucks did in the second first quarter, and then to come out with a furious, just as impressive as the Suns were when in that first quarter, the Bucks were impressive in coming back and getting in that game tied in the second quarter. I thought that's where the game was won, in my opinion. To come back in the second quarter, tie the game, take the lead.
You're down 16 in the second quarter, and you go into halftime up three. That's insane.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And doing it and doing it with guys like Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton. My God, Pat Connaughton has become a revelation. I can't speak right now all of a sudden. It's too much Space Jam. it's become a revelation.
Got it.
In these last two games. I mean, just, you know, hitting open threes, rebounding, making plays. Pat Connaughton has come up big here. It was a furious comeback. I thought that's where the game was won in the second quarter. And then, of course, the Bucks hold on to win in the fourth quarter, man. But just a furious comeback. The Bucks showed me something, man, because, again, to come out in a game five, 2-2 series, to get punched in the mouth like that at home, on the road, they could have easily packed their bags up and say, look, we got game six at home. Let's go. Let's try to win a game six at home. They didn't. They kept fighting. They knew this was the game of the series. They knew they could win the championship tonight or that night if they won game five, and they did that. And I think the interesting thing for me, the thing that stuck out to me the most, was this entire postseason, I was waiting for a moment where the Suns' youth would play into effect, right? I was waiting for a moment where the Suns' youth would come into play, where they would have that moment of inexperience. And really that moment where their back's against the wall, because the Suns pretty much have had an easy road of it. You know, I know they had a little bit of an adversity, you know, in game four against the Lakers, down 11 to start that game after getting blown out in game three. Obviously, that was a little bit of adversity there. Now, obviously, the whole series turned when AD basically got hurt. So, and then, of course, they faced the easy road against Denver. And then even against the Clippers, they had some moments. But for the most part, you knew they were going to pretty much win that series. Once they won the first two games without Chris Paul, and then they won that tough game four on the road, you pretty much knew the Suns were safe. So they had a little bit of adversity, but not much. Now they have some adversity. And really, on Saturday night, you really saw moments in that game where their youth started to get the best of them.
Yeah.
You know, Booker, to me, is still in that phase where he's still learning how to impact the games in other ways besides scoring. You know, even when the thing with Booker is, like, if his shot, he's not hitting his shots, he's not really helping you in other areas. I thought the best game he played in the postseason was actually that game one against the Clippers, where, you know, he was playing the point guard position. He was getting everybody involved. He was making plays. And then, of course, he closed the game out in the fourth quarter. I actually thought that was his best game in the postseason. Even beyond that 48-point or whatever point game in the closeout game against the Lakers, I thought that game was more impressive than anything else he's done in the postseason. And he's had a big postseason. But Booker's still in that mold where, you know, you could just tell that when his shot's not going in, you know, he starts, you know, complaining at the refs. You know, he starts kind of getting in that mold where he doesn't really know how to help his team beyond scoring. Ayton has been a little bit of a disappointment in this series. He's had good numbers, but he really hasn't been the offensive force that he's been in other series. I think a lot of that has to do with Giannis. I think the Suns have been exposed. You know, I think that they're really offensively, they're Devin Booker and a lot of other guys. And if Booker's off or he's having an off night, they really don't have that second guy. Ayton can be that guy. He has the potential to be that guy, but he hasn't been that guy in this series. Bridges has not really played well. He's had moments, but he hasn't really had his moments. And he's not another guy. He's not another guy that he can't really create his own shot. He's a slasher. He's a 3 and D guy. He's not a guy that's going to get you points.
But there's only two people on the Suns who can create their own shot, and that's Booker and Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, and if you want to say he's injured, whatnot, but he's not playing like the Chris Paul that we're used to seeing. And then also another thing is like when their shot's not falling, they don't have another thing. Like they don't take the ball to the hoop enough. No. They don't draw fouls.
Ayton should be their other thing. Ayton should be their other thing, but they just
don't. And Booker can do it, but he settles for the jump shot more often than not. They don't get to the line. So it's like if Chris Paul's driving and kicking and they're missing threes, it's like, okay, well, maybe if a pick and roll game with Ayton, but, you know, Giannis and company kind of have that on lock. So it's kind of like, well, what do we do next? And I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, they got off to an early lead in game five, and a lot of it was because they were hitting shots and their intensity was up. Like once those shots stopped falling, you know, they came back down to earth in the second quarter. The first quarter, I think they were like, 14 for 18, something insane. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things with the Bucks. One thing I didn't like about the Bucks all season, or just this whole Giannis era, is that they feel very clunky on offense, especially in the half court. It doesn't seem to be too organized and whatnot. But if you think about their offense, you have Giannis, who's basically a freight train to the hoop. You have Middleton, who can, you know, hit outside shots, mid range, take you ISO. Then you have Connaughton, who can hit a three. In a little bit of their own way, they're kind of multidimensional. Brook Lopez, when he's on the floor, he can hit the three, or he can post you up if you get the mismatch. So as clunky as they are, and as like kind of unorthodox as it looks sometimes, they still have a little more. They have more in the bag than the Phoenix Suns do. So if things go wrong, they can kind of search and look for it. And if Drew Holiday is giving you what he's been giving you the games, forget it. Because then it's like, how can you even really guard them if Drew Holiday's hitting his shots? And I think that's what's starting to happen. I think we're starting to realize that Phoenix is a little more, I wouldn't say one-dimensional, but they're not as multidimensional as the Bucks.
They're one-dimensional. I would say this. They're one-dimensional, and they don't really have a lot of depth. They don't have a great bench. Right. They have maybe two guys on that bench. Cameron Payne and Torian Craig, maybe. That's it. Definitely Cam Payne. Other than that, Cam Johnson. But I don't know what it is with him, but they don't give him enough minutes. And he's really hot and cold, too. But he's a young player, so it's to be expected.
3D.
But he's really hot and cold. Some days he's on, and then other days he just can't hit anything.
Yeah.
They're a little bit one-dimensional, and they lack the depth. I mean, let's just put it that way. Outside of Devin Booker, they don't have another guy. They don't have Chris Middleton. That's the biggest key. They don't have a Chris Middleton.
Every once in a while, like Chris Paul, if he's getting in the paint, pick and roll, he does a little snake in the pick and roll, and he has that elbow jump shot on the right elbow. He can do that, but he doesn't have it in him in this series.
He doesn't have it in him. He's not a kid. At 36, Chris Paul is not a number two option. He just isn't. You know, Chris Paul at this age in his career, he should be a third or fourth option, really. He's not a number two. They just really don't have that second guy. Ayton could be that guy. I don't want to bag on Ayton. Ayton could be that guy.
It's going to work. You can't do that. Everything is off the ball.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's the biggest issue. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Bucks are a little clunky offensively. I think it's because it's Giannis. He is such a unicorn. You know, I don't think him and Lopez really fit all that well.
Right.
Because, I mean, you've seen it by definition. Lopez has just become a spot-up shooter because of Giannis, right? So he needs space to operate. So they basically park Lopez in the corner and just have him shoot threes. So I think that's a byproduct of Giannis, but... And we've been talking mostly about the Suns, but you know, it's time to give credit to the Bucks, man. You know, and everybody, and look, Budenholzer is everybody's favorite coach to pick on, but he's made adjustments. You know, he's made adjustments. Give him credit. You know, he's switched things up a little bit. He recognized that Drew Holiday's biggest strength is defense, and he's had Drew Holiday press Chris Paul from when he gets the ball all the way down the court, and it's been effective. It has been completely effective. I know Chris Paul may be dealing with an injury, so quote unquote, you know my thing on injuries. If you're injured, you don't play. If you play, you're not injured. I'm sorry. I can't evaluate what you may or may not be doing because of your injury. I can't evaluate that. All I can do is evaluate when you're playing. But give him credit. You know, he's found the matchup there that works. And we'll talk about Giannis obviously later on, but Giannis, you could just see this guy's maturation. just he's the light is starting to come on for Giannis, man. I mean, you see it in years past. You see that wall build around him, that 46 bear defense build around him, and he'd panic. He wouldn't know what to do. Now he's making quick decisions. He's a better passer than I think anybody give him credit for. He's a much better passer than I think people give him credit for.
He's not afraid to go to the line either right now. That's another thing.
That's the other thing. Even if he doesn't make it, like he's still making quick decisions with the basketball. He's fully confident in what he wants to do out there. And that's the one thing about Giannis that in the past, I think you struggled with is that there was a lot of, I don't know what to do with the ball. Oh my God, mental overload. Like there was a lot of that. To me, he's just getting the ball. He's making quick reads. He's making quick decisions. If the wall's formed, he's passing it out. He's making plays for other guys. He's figuring out that by them making this wall, it's inherently going to open up shots for Connaughton. It's going to open up shots for Jrue. It's going to open up shots for Brooke. And he's taking advantage of it. And then when he does have that one-on-one matchup with Ayton or whoever, it's barbecue chicken all day. So Giannis is playing well. I don't want to get too much into Giannis because I'm sure we'll get into him further later. But are you surprised we're here right now?
I did think the Bucks were going to keep it close. I picked the Suns in seven, so I don't want to say I'm surprised. I will say that I'm surprised that once Phoenix went up 16, that the Bucks came back in the fashion that they did. You could have convinced me that maybe they came back and win that game, but you couldn't have convinced me that it would happen all in one quarter, and then they would take like a double-digit lead themselves like in the third quarter. Like that was – like the way that game spun so violently shocked the hell out of me.
I agree.
And to me, that's – you give credit to the Bucks, but at the same time with the Suns, it's like that can't happen. A swing game at home, there's no way that can happen. And to me, that's more of a worse sign for the Suns than it is a good sign for the Bucks. If that makes any sense, like that tells me more about the Suns. Like you just can't allow that to happen.
Well, it just speaks to the Suns' youth. I mean, again, they're young.
I don't know if it's youth. I think you hit it right when you said depth and being one dimensional. I'm not sure if it's like being young.
I think it is being young, Josh. I think it is. I think this is the first moment for that group. You know, this Bucks team, you know, people don't want to admit it, but this Bucks team is battle tested. They've been, I mean, this core group. I know Holiday's in there new.
But Holiday's had some playoff battles.
Well, Holiday's been, you know, he's battle tested in his own right. But I mean, this core group of Giannis, Middleton, Lopez, Coach Bud, you know, they've been through the playoff wars. You know, they were there 2 years ago where they blew a 2-0 lead to Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, they were there, you know, getting swept out of the playoffs by Miami. They were there seven game series there. They've been battle tested. And I really feel like this team gained something from winning a tough series against Brooklyn. And I said it when the playoffs first started. I like what I saw from the Bucks because they won a series against Miami, a team that knocked them out the year before. They showed toughness. They showed grittiness. They showed a different edge that I had seen from Milwaukee in years prior. And then, of course, they carried that over into Milwaukee. And yes, I know. If James Harden's healthy, if KD or if Kyrie doesn't hurt his ankle, who knows? We're probably having a different conversation today. Got it. Granted. I understand all of that. But hey, at the end of the day, they took care of business. They took care of the business that they had to do. And they still could have lost that series anyway. And they still figured out a way to win it. And that's credit to them. That's credit to them. They won a tough, hard series.
Yeah, last year's team would have lost. 2 years ago, they would have lost that because they feel different. They feel mentally tough. They don't feel like they're going to fold at any given moment or any given hint of adversity like they did in the past. So,
and Giannis is better. And Giannis is better.
Giannis is smarter. But yeah, so he's better. You can say he's better. Yeah.
Yeah, he's better. He's better. Yeah.
He stopped shooting halfway through the Nets series. Something clicked inside of him where he was like, I can't. After game three, they won game three, but he still took a lot of threes. After that, something clicked inside of him where he was just like, I don't know if someone said something to him. I don't know if Coach Budenholzer said something to him, or he just came to the realization that, like, I got to stop doing this because this is not where it's at right now. Ever since he started taking the hoops active on the offensive glass, too, which is another thing, a lot of his points are putbacks. You know, he's playing to his strength. He's playing a lot smarter.
And he's got a better mid-range game than I think people realize. Like, he can shoot that little 15. He's not, you know, Akeem or anything. But he's got an emerging mid-range game where if he continues to
respect it.
Yeah, if he continues to develop that part of the game, I actually think, you know, when everybody brings up, Giannis should shoot more threes or Giannis, I'm like, his area should be free throw line and below. He should dominate that pick and pops.
Nobody said Shaq should shoot threes. No one said that ever.
Yeah, never, never.
Yeah,
it is a crime if Giannis. I mean, obviously, if he goes out and hits a couple, great. But No, his goal, if I'm Giannis, I'm in the gym working on an 18 to 20 footer and just jaying it. Cause it makes you respect you. Cause he's on in the open court, one-on-one, he's unguardable. They have literally he's unguardable. So, and then when they build that wall, you can either pull up and hit a shot or pass it out, and he's figured it out. So credit to him, man. Credit to Giannis, man. The guy, and he's such a likable superstar. I guess we can transition on to Giannis, but he's such a likable superstar right now. Just his post-game interviews, you could just tell he's having the time of his life. Listen, I take back what I said about Giannis. Now, I don't want to get too premature because obviously the Bucks are the Bucks, and tomorrow
they
night
win this championship yet. We're talking like they won the championship.
Right. They haven't won this championship yet, so I need to slow down a little bit, but if they do, I'll save it for next week.
Okay.
I'll save it for next week. I don't want to get too it is the Bucks and and never underestimate the ability of the Bucks to Bucks it up.
Yeah. Bucks going Buck.
When in doubt. Yes. When in doubt. Anything else from game five?
No, nah, just really impressed with Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis. I mean, they basically, I think I saw a stat later, they scored or assisted upon like 115 of the 119 points or something crazy, where it's just,
we
want to talk big three. That's big three right there. And they're all different too. Like Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis all have three separate games, all completely drastically different games, which means they fit. You know, they don't run into each other. There's no like friction there with who needs the ball or who needs it in one spot. They know that if they need a bucket, you go to Middleton because he can get you an array of different things. If you want to, you know, there's just, they make sense as a trio, but they have to have Holiday going in order for them to really hit their peak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Jrue Holiday has been the X factor this whole series. And Giannis, he's MVP, but the X factor has been Jrue Holiday.
And another added point to that, what you just said, they're all two way players as well.
Yes.
And that's a bonus. When your three best players are also the three best players on both ends of the floor,
right?
It's such an advantage.
I mean, Jrue Holiday was a steal from Jrue Holiday. I mean, we could talk about the alley-oop. Alley-oop was phenomenal, but the steal itself is.
I love that block. Giannis had one of the most incredible. Is that better than LeBron's block?
No, second, top two.
Degree of difficulty, though.
It's harder. Yeah. I do think that when you rank things all time, though, you have to at least think of the moment.
Yes,
and that moment was huge, but there is no bigger moment than 3 minutes left in game seven of the NBA Finals. So,
agreed.
But you can argue Giannis doesn't block that. Ayton throws it down. It's a tie game. Who knows how that game swings? And maybe that swings the whole series. So,
swung the series.
Yeah.
It's completely swung the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the LeBron block is going to be looked at with more love, but I actually think the Giannis block is more impressive.
It's more impressive for sure because he was literally guarding. Was Booker who threw the alley-oop. He was guarding Booker at the elbow.
Yes,
and his he back was the help was
defender.
Playing.
He was the help defender on Booker, and then he had enough wherewithal to recover, jump, and block it with his fingertips.
Right. DeAndre Ayton too. Like it's not like he blocked campaign. This was DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, that was an incredible block. And then of course the alley-oop. Oh my God. Just again, iconic plays from this guy.
Yeah.
Iconic plays. Listen, the debate is over. He's the MVP of the finals. I know people out there want to put it, you know, I know CJ McCollum wants to say that Middleton should get, you know,
bro,
CJ, worry about your franchise, CJ.
They hate him. NBA players hate him. They don't like him.
Listen.
They don't like
him. Here's an advice for CJ. CJ, if you're listening, hopefully you are.
Yeah.
If you are, plug us. CJ, worry about what's going on in your franchise right now. Worry about that. Worry about Neil and Chauncey and Dame and all of his issues. Worry about that. I know you fancy yourself as a quasi-media person, you know, podcasts and all that stuff. Great. Good. Awesome. I like your podcast, by the way. Worry about that. Yeah, well,
they hate him. They can't. No one on Twitter. If you notice, whenever Harden goes off, there's NBA players showing him love. Whenever Kyrie goes off, there's NBA players showing him love. Whenever LeBron goes off, there's NBA players showing him love. But same thing. When Giannis goes off, silence.
Why is that?
Silent.
Why do you think?
If you look, all right. So we take CJ, right? CJ mentioned about Chris Middleton. CJ watches Giannis play, and he doesn't see CJ can do so many more things than Giannis can with the basketball. He can. Like Giannis can't dribble like CJ. He doesn't have a step back game like CJ. He can't do half the things CJ does. The difference between Giannis and CJ is that Giannis is literally a freak of nature with his body and, you know, his size and his speed. So I think people like CJ and James Harden, they see this guy dominating and they look at their skill set and they're like, my skill set's better. Like, I'm not going to give this guy as much. But I'm not going to show him.
But that's different, though. Like, there's a nastiness to it. Like, that just, like, it's different. Because there's always been, like, oh, I'm better than this guy. But there's a respect because he's an NBA guy.
Yeah, there's no respect for Giannis.
Yeah. And I don't understand that. I don't understand
either. Because he's a nice dude. He doesn't talk crap about anybody. He doesn't rub anybody the wrong way. So I don't understand it myself. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I do think there's a lack of respect for his game because he can't shoot free throws. He can't shoot threes.
He's not the first NBA superstar. Dwight Howard got more love than Giannis. I know.
But Dwight Howard was like a post-up player. It's different. Like Giannis starts at the perimeter. Like it's a little different. Like aesthetically, it's a little different. So
everybody says Giannis has no bag. Did Dwight Howard have a bag in Orlando?
No, but he didn't need one. And Giannis doesn't need one either. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm trying to explain to you where I think these players are coming from.
I don't get the hate. I really don't.
I don't get it either. I get it in the sense I get where they're coming from, but I don't agree with it.
It's hate. It's jealousy. I don't know what it is.
If
I had his size and speed, I'd be doing the same thing. It's stupid. It's stupid. And look, I've been critical of Giannis. I've called him Mediterranean Tyrus Thomas. I've been very critical of Giannis, man. But the dude has shown me something. Listen, I'm one of those people. I'm always going to say, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I was wrong about Giannis. Now, look, there are times where he frustrates the hell out of me. I think he should be a little bit more aggressive with the basketball in his hand. Yeah. Make quicker decisions with all things that he's done in this series, by the way. But, you know, I've been critical of him. But real recognize real, man. The guy is an incredible basketball player.
Mediterranean Tyrus Thomas.
I got it. That shit blew up too when I said that.
Yeah.
No, but you know, I've been critical of him, and the fact that I'm able to sit here and say, "Look, I was wrong," or you know, "I was misguided in saying that." The dude is a tremendously talented basketball player, and the fact that he's just getting better. Like, I think people forget he's only 26.
Yeah.
Like he's still scratching the surface of what he could be.
He did win like 4 more championships and 2 more MVPs. And then what are we saying about him?
Yeah. And just imagine if he keeps developing that mid-range game.
That's what I'm
saying. And now he quote unquote has a bag.
His prime is like 2 years away. He's not in his prime yet. That's a crazy thing.
If he stays healthy. Yeah. It's I like Giannis, man. He's a good kid.
I like him too.
Tell his teammates.
And all the fans like him. All the fans. It's the players. It's the players themselves.
And you know why I like him? He didn't take the easy way out. He didn't bitch out. He stayed in Milwaukee. He took the challenge on of winning. And his championship, and I'll say that right now, and I know I wanted to save it, but fuck it, I'll say it right now. His championship, if and when he wins tomorrow, tonight, whenever you guys are listening to this, when he wins that championship, if he wins that, I'll say if he wins that championship means more than anything KD did with the Warriors.
Yeah.
Anything LeBron did with Miami. It means more. I'm sorry. It means more. This championship was harder than any of those championships. I'm sorry. It just was.
If you want to talk full road as of like, I was drafted by the Bucks. The Bucks were a poverty franchise. I developed my game. I needed people. Then yeah. But I mean, we also have to take into context like the just the realities of the situation. The Nets were injured. The Lakers were injured. You know,
Of course. I'm not taking any of that away from anything. I get it. That's also a part of the story. It's you have to be fair. You have to write that in the obituary of this season when you write it, that a lot of teams got injured along the way. And who knows, maybe if everybody's fully healthy, I believe it. If the Lakers are healthy, they're in the finals right now. If Brooklyn's healthy, most likely they're in the finals right now. Right? Like, of course you have to write that. But that being said, this is the finals we got. And the finals we got has Giannis one win away from winning a championship and playing one of the great NBA finals of all time in his performance. Absolutely. He was clearly the best player on the court. It's not even an argument. And that's all due respect to Devin Booker. It's not even an argument. Right. So yeah, it means more, man. That's the other thing about it. And I'm going to save this conversation for next week because I want to have this is much more of a greater discussion on just the NBA as a whole. But you know, he didn't take the easy way out. He won his title in the team that drafted him. He could have did the easy thing of, I don't want to be here. It doesn't help my brand. I want to sell sneakers in Miami, or I want to sell sneakers in wherever. But he committed. He signed long term. He took on the challenge, and he's being rewarded for it. And that franchise and that city is being rewarded for it.
Good for him. He deserves it.
And that fan base deserves it. That's a passionate. Yeah. That's a long running passionate fan. I have friends and family in Milwaukee.
Oh,
it's passionate. It's a passionate NBA city. They love the Bucks there. They've been rooting for the Bucks for 50 plus years. You know,
they deserve it.
This isn't some Johnny Come Lately franchise. This is a stable franchise that has just been unlucky. They just haven't had a guy.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, you know how it is. You just need that transcendent guy. And they finally got it. And now they're in a position where they're one win away from winning a championship. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on to game six, because we've talked about it, like we've coordinated the Bucks, but I need an official prediction. What's going to happen in a few hours from now, since we're already almost Tuesday here in the West Coast. Tonight, game six, Bucks, Suns at Bucks. Who wins?
So, I mean, everything is pointing to this, to the Bucks winning the championship at home. And that's when I turn and I look and I'm like, that's probably not going to happen then, right? Because every time you think something's definitely going to happen, the exact opposite.
The exact thing happens in this postseason, right?
Yeah, but I'm having a hard time going against the Bucks. Yeah, I'm having a hard time right now going against the Bucks. I do think that there has been a significant change. It's not just momentum at this point. You know, sometimes you can point to momentum and be like, oh, this team is just hot right now. It's a buzzsaw. But as we mentioned before, the Bucks seem to be a little more dimensional than the Suns. Chris Paul's injured and he's hurt. And you can say whatever you want. Like if you're playing, you're not injured. And I do agree with you with that. But the fact of the matter is he's still not 100%. And if he's not 100% and Drew Holiday's guarding you, forget it. Like this is the person who pretty much, and anyone can say what they want about Chris Paul. I still think Chris Paul catapulted this team to what they are today. Obviously, you know, I don't think he's the best player on the team. Devin Booker's the best player on the team, but I do think he's probably the MVP of the team. I think that's two separate things. And yep. I think without him at 100% and him, you know, getting into the teeth of the defense and kicking out and making plays and being comfortable and hitting that elbow jumper, the team is just not the same. And they become very one dimensional. That's give Devin Booker the ball and hope that he's, you know, shooting 70% today. So, to me, I have a hard time believing that the Bucks go home, you know, with that crowd going crazy, with Giannis playing the way he's playing, with Drew Holiday's confidence sky high. I just have a hard time believing that the Suns can go in there and pull off a victory. Although I do think it would be close. You know, games four and five could have gone either way. So you can convince me that the Suns can win, but I don't know, man. It's just not looking like it right now. I just don't offensively, when I think about what the Suns can do to improve, a lot of it has to do with the health of Chris Paul, and he's just not there. And then when I think about what the Suns have to do defensively, you know, what can you do? DeAndre Ayton's not going to stop Giannis at the rim. It's just not what it is. It worked against a hobbled Lakers team. It worked against, you know, a hobbled Denver Nuggets team, but it's not going to work against, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And if Drew Holiday is hitting his shots, forget it. Forget it.
Yeah. I'm also afraid to go gung-ho on the Bucks, just because it is the Bucks. It always seems like, I tweeted this the other day, but it always seems like they figure out a way to make things difficult on themselves for whatever the reason. Maybe it just drives them, it moves them, I don't know, but they always find themselves in these positions where they should dominate, they should win, but somehow they always end up in these like tough, hard-fought games, a lot of times to their own doing. I just think you have a franchise that hasn't won a championship since 1972?
Yep.
Something like that. 1970. No, 70, 71?
Three. 71? No, 71. 71.
70, 69, 70 was the Lakers.
Something like or that.
Knicks. 70, 71 was the Bucks, I believe. 72 was the Lakers, and then 73 was the Knicks. Knicks.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a franchise that hasn't won a championship in 50 years. A Bucks franchise that's been around since like 1967, 68, something like that. So pretty much 50 plus years as a franchise, 50 years since a championship. In a building and with a raucous crowd, 48 minutes away from a championship, I don't think the Suns are getting out of there alive. I'm sorry. You can convince me Devin Booker's going to have a big game. You can convince me all those things. I just, you know me, I'm a big intangibles guy.
Right.
You know, crowd, moment, history, 50 plus years. You know, they're going to wheel out Oscar. They're going to wheel out Kareem. They're going to wheel out whoever. And I mean this lovingly. I don't mean it trying to back on their age or anything. But, you know, they're going to bring out all the legends, everything, the damn everybody that they can find from that championship team. They're going to wheel them out. And it's going to be a coronation. I just think that a franchise like this, they're the better team. I think we can stop debating it now. They are the better team. They're the better team. Phoenix has more upside.
Yeah.
But they're the better team right now as currently constituted. When you're the better team, you got history on your side, 48 minutes away from a championship. I don't think the Suns get out of there alive. I really don't. I think it's a blowout. I think it's a blowout. I don't think it's a competitive game. I think it'll be close for a little bit, but I just think the Bucks, you don't do what you did in Phoenix on Saturday night and then come out and lay an egg.
Right.
They're going to win that game, game six. Listen, stranger things have happened. I get it. Yeah. And it is the Bucks.
It is the Bucks.
I understand that.
Bud's going to bud.
Hey, listen, I'll lay off a Bud. Bud has coached a decent series. You could argue he's outcoached Monty Williams. That being said, it's Bucks, man. They're the favorite. They should be. They're going to win that game. I don't see a scenario where the Suns win. I really don't. It would show me a lot about the Suns if they won that game. We have a whole different vibe.
The Suns win game six, all of a sudden everyone's crowning the Suns as champions. I mean, that's another thing. Like, we can't be really too prisoner of the moment, but I think at this point, you see three games
you're
in
right.
a row.
You're right.
The Bucks were able to make adjustments, whereas the Suns, I don't really know what adjustments they can make in my mind. That doesn't involve, like I said, CP3 just playing better and playing healthier. And you can't change the fact that DeAndre Ayton's not going to have the same impact that he's had in the rest of the series because he's just outmatched. It just is what it is.
And I said it at the beginning of the series. I didn't like that. No, he's not playing bad. He's just he can't guard Giannis one-on-one.
He can't have the same impact. He just can't. No. He can't be the rim protector that he's been. He can't be the force inside who's getting you 20 and 20. It's just not going to happen. You need that from him. They need a Cam Johnson to step up. They need a Mikal Bridges to have a big game. That's what they need.
Bridges has been a big factor in the series because he just has not played the same.
Yeah.
And they've been able to take him out as well.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is the Bucks have been physical. And I think that, and that's all, that also goes to youth too.
Yeah.
I think the Suns have not seen physicality like this. They saw it a little bit against the Lakers, but again, the Lakers got hurt. So, you could be as physical as you want, but when you're undermanned, it's one thing.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think they've seen the physicality the Bucks bring. Which is weird to say, the Bucks' physicality, that hasn't always been the case, but they've just been out muscled them. I mean, just look at them. The Bucks are just bigger than Phoenix. They're just bigger in every way, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't think Phoenix has, what adjustments can they make? I don't, unless you're giving Chris Paul a time machine and
the only thing I can think of is
house serum. Like, I just
You have Devin run point. You switch it up where Devin runs point. He becomes
Chris to the two?
You have him just kind of running around. It's not even just having him on the wing, but it's he's like a swing guard type of thing. But you kind of alternate. Maybe I'm not saying that every possession you do it, but you have Booker handle the ball a little bit more and maybe get some Buck defenders out of position or not used to what's going on. Jrue Holiday is not, pressuring the ball like he is with CP3. So you don't have a problem bringing up the ball past half court. You're setting up your offense more efficiently. That's really the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only thing they can do, honestly, that would be worth anything.
Yeah.
A radical thing would be to bench Chris Paul. They're not going to do it. But
they have looked better with campaign at times.
They could do campaign.
Yeah.
They could also start Devin Booker at the point, have Bridges at the two,
Bridges,
and start Cam Johnson at the three, and with that weakens your bench. But that weakens your bench.
Yeah, there's no way that's happening.
Yeah, that's the thing. Their moves to make and their moves to play are all extremes that they're not going to play in this. Right. I mean, maybe they should, but they're not. So,
well, Chris Paul had a really good fourth quarter to game five, where if the Suns would have won, it would have made a big deal out of it.
That is the only shining light that the Suns have right now is that Booker's continued to play well. Chris Paul played well at the end of game five.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they have to hang their hats on.
It's big.
Other than that, there's nothing. I mean, it's a big thing. Whether there's carryover, who knows? But I just don't see it, man. I don't see it. I think it's going to take Booker scoring 60 and then getting contributions from like a campaign or Cam Johnson.
I think it's more simple that Chris Paul has to play well, which is not, you know, out of, you know, the realm of possibility. I don't think he's healthy. So it's hard for me to picture him putting like back to back consistent games right now.
They need Chris Paul to play well, and not even well. I think they need Chris Paul to have one big game. I just don't see it happening. I really don't.
It's possible. We'll see.
It's possible. I mean, look, and I know I'm sounding really matter of fact that the Bucks are going to do this. I hate to do that. Trust me, I'm not comfortable in that. But I just, again, everything, if you're just looking at this on paper, I don't know how you can sit there and say tomorrow night or tonight is guaranteed the Suns are going to win or Suns have a chance. I just don't see how you look at it that way.
Yeah. I think they keep it close.
I think they figured out. I think it's a blowout. I think it'll start out close. The Suns will come out with some desperation, but I think eventually when the Bucks take over, they take over. I don't see it being really competitive at the end. So we shall see. That's why they play the games. We could sit here all day and pontificate about what we think is going to happen, but why they play the games, we shall see, man. We shall see. Moving on to the other big NBA story, I guess I wanted to pick your brain before we get out of here. Can you decode what the hell is going on with Dame Lillard? Does he want to be traded? Did he ask for a trade? Is he loyal? Does he want to stay in Portland? Does he not want to stay in Portland? I'm confused. I don't know what the hell is going on.
I think you like this tweet. I'm just going to repeat my tweet about it. I think there's before a superstar gets to the level of, before a superstar gets to the level of demanding a trade, there's a level below that of get your shit together or I'm going to demand a trade. And I think that's where Dame is. I think that he wants to be a Blazer. I genuinely think he wants to be a Blazer for life. I don't think he wants to leave. But I also think he values winning and he values a championship as by his frustrations, you know. And I do think the longer he stays there and he looks at the roster and he sees the contract situation and he sees the mess that Neil has caused with the coaching search and honestly the mess that Neil has caused with giving these contracts out and not really doing much with the roster. A lot of that is Neil as well, if not all of it, because he's the GM. And I think he sees that he's getting older. You know, Dame's 31 years old. He's not in his prime. He's probably at the end of his prime. He's still in his prime, but probably going to be leaving it in like a couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years. Yeah.
So I do think he realizes like the time is kind of now. And he looks at the Portland Trailblazers. He's like, I don't think we can win right now. And I don't know. I also think, you know, a lot of it has to do with things behind the scene. I don't think he's really a big fan of Neil Olshey. I don't think he's a fan of the way he's running the organization. And sometimes when you don't feel comfortable in an organization, you kind of want out. I think he loves the fans. I think he loves Portland. I think he loves the state of Oregon. But at the end of the day, like, if you're not happy, if you don't like the work environment they're going to, why would you want to stay? Especially when you can choose where the fuck you want to go.
I'm conflicted. Because I like Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
I'm also one that bags on organizations when they've completely fumbled the situation like they have. And I think Portland has done a terrible job. Neil O'Shea's an idiot. We know that. Not to mince words. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's one of these people that has failed up in life. That being said, I'm kind of confused at this whole situation because I'm is the situation in Portland that bad? I'm trying to figure it out. Like, if you listen to NBA Twitter and NBA media, you know, basically Dame Lillard is on the 2007 Cavs, basically, where he's just playing with a bunch of stiffs.
Right.
And poor Dame. I mean, we basically need to give Dame the Congressional Medal of Freedom because he's you know, he's doing acts of service that are,
I agree with
that,
this,
are beyond any normal human.
Right.
I look at that franchise and I'm like, they're not that far away. Like, they have good players. Like,
they're a level below. They're a level below.
But I don't think they have that much far to go. Like, if you look at it right now as is, the Clippers are in disarray. Who the hell knows what the Clippers are going to be next year? That's one team. Dallas, does anybody think Dallas is going to be a super team next year? Jason Kidd coaching? No way. Yeah. The Lakers, I mean, outside of the Lakers when they're healthy, but right now, today, looking at it today, I think you got to look at the Lakers as a big question mark. Yeah. What are the Lakers? LeBron's going to be 36 entering season 19. And AD is perpetually always hurt. Right. So question mark for the Lakers. And I'm a Laker fan and I'm saying this. Denver? Anybody sitting there saying Denver is going to be this perennial championship team?
Right. Utah?
Not really. Utah? Right. No. Phoenix? I got to see it again. And then if they don't re-sign Chris Paul, what back does Phoenix
the,
looks like?
Back to the mid you go. Yeah.
I'm looking at the Western Conference and it's like, I'm not seeing the 99 Spurs there. I'm not seeing the 2002, 2003 Mavs or Lakers. The Suns. I'm not seeing
the Lakers, the 2000 Lakers. Shaq and
Kobe Lakers. Like, yeah. I'm not seeing this. I think it's a deep conference, but it's a little bit misleading that he's, first of all, the fact that that people act like he's playing against with a bunch of stiffs is
my problem with it all. Like, CJ McCollum is, I mean, the
borderline all-star.
First of all, he's probably a top five Blazer of all time. Let's get real. And then on top of that, when they made the Western Conference Finals a few years ago, it was CJ McCollum who carried Damian Lillard into the Western Conference Finals.
Say that.
Forget that. Game seven in Denver, that was a CJ McCollum game. Dame was awful. CJ led that team to the Western Conference Finals. So this idea that, you know, Dame doesn't have help is kind of ridiculous. And then on top of that, Yusuf Nurkic is one of the best big men in the league. I'm not saying he's Jokic. Saying he's Embiid. But that next tier, you can put him in there. He's one of the best passing big men in the league, and he's decent defensively. Then you have Carmelo coming off the bench. People tell me all the time,
yo, Carmelo still got it.
Well, if Carmelo still got it, then Dame has some little bit of help. So I do agree with the fact that, like, this idea.
Simons is a good little player.
Simons is okay. He's athletic. But
they developed him.
He's okay. Robert Covington's one of the better 3-and-D players in the league. So this idea that he doesn't have help, to me, is kind of a false notion. It's kind of dumb to me because he does have help. There's a reason why people were picking the Blazers to go to Western Conference Finals this year, like, because they have talent.
Everybody brings up the defense. The defense is a byproduct of coaching.
It's what?
Coaching. It's a byproduct of coaching. Like, I've always felt like they've had a coaching problem. Like, I like Terry Stotts, but Terry Stotts is a guy that has a ceiling. Terry Stotts is good with young teams that are just trying to figure out their way.
Yeah.
I don't think Terry Stotts is the guy that gets you to a championship. I've always felt like they needed a coaching change. I've always felt like they needed a better coach there, or a more consistent defensive-minded coach.
I agree with that. I just don't think you can teach Dame and CJ how to stay in front of guards. That's my thing. The problem with the Blazers is that their best two offensive players are very small guards who are not
good defensively. Or below guards. Yes.
And it's like, what do you do with that? Because if you play them both, you're going to get killed on the perimeter. That's their problem. So Dame has to be paired with a bigger guard who can defend, because Dame is not an awful defender, but he's not by any stretch of the imagination.
He's not Isaiah Thomas defensively.
You can't tell me you put in a defensive specialist like Tom Thibodeau coaches the Blazers and all of a sudden Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are playing defense.
No, now, but they the might team get defense as automatically. As a whole, that's what I mean. Like if you're stuck on Dame and CJ as a duo, then you need a defensive coach to change the overall scheme of the defense. Team defense needs to get better. Help defense needs to get better. The effort on defense needs to get better. And that's on coaching. That's on coaching. And I agree with you. Tom Thibodeau can't come in there and make Dame Lillard a better defender.
Yeah.
He can't. Individually, he can't. But defense, a lot of it is on effort. A lot of it is on scheme. You know, and I think a coach does help in that part.
I do.
So I think that changing the coach would have been better. Now, obviously, they just completely bungled the hire with the whole process that which they took. Look, they always wanted to hire Billups. It felt like they always wanted to hire Billups. Then just
he's
hire
always Billups. The guy.
Just right. Hire him.
Don't.
They made
don't
it worse by playing this game with Becky.
Becky Hammon, guys.
Right. They made it worse by doing that. Sometimes just do what you want to do initially and just do it. Like, people would have knocked you, but stand by it. Own it. Yeah. Don't play this. They tried to get too cute with the coaching hire where, we might give it to, you know, this guy. We might hire a Clyde Drexler. We might hire this guy. No. Like, you knew you always wanted to hire Chauncey Billups. Own it, hire him, and just be done with it.
Right. And then a lot of, like, they said they did a thorough investigation about, like, what happened, and you didn't do that.
You can't investigate these things. Like,
Right, exactly.
Investigate it. I hate that.
Oh, in 2 days. Did a
thorough investigation. Asked all the women in Chauncey's life, and they told us he's a good guy.
We talked to his daughters. They said they liked their daddy.
Like, come on. Like, this is stupid. Like, you're not like, listen, I get it. I get it. Yeah. I get it. It's similar to the Mets situation with Jared Porter. Like, exactly. Oh, did you interview all the women in his life? What is Mrs. Porter, the mom, going to say about her son?
Right.
He's a great stand-up guy. Right. Like, people are not going to say these things. Like, you know, like, stop it. Like, I hate that we get bogged down in these stupid little things. Like, listen, you wanted to hire the guy, hire him. And look, I'm not saying he's the right hire. I'm not saying he's a bad hire. I don't know. Chauncey could be the next Phil Jackson. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
He could be, but it's also very interesting that Dame is unhappy still, even though after that hire. I think that shows you that Dame maybe was not on board with the hire completely.
I think Dame is trying to have his cake and eat it too. I think Dame is coming off like a little bit of a phony, because everything that you heard initially was that he was on board with the hire. And now I think Dame did one of these. He put his thumb in, he put his finger in the air. He knew how the wind was blowing. And now he wants to pretend, oh yeah, I'm with you fans. Yeah. I'm against the hire too. Nah, you're coming a little bit like a phone. I hate to say it because I'm such a Dame Lillard fan, but he's starting to rub me the wrong way. I didn't like how he's coming off really disingenuous. I think he was on board with the hire. And I think we realized the fan base was so negative and the NBA media was split on it. I think he read the room and it was like, oh yeah, yeah. Chauncey, what he did was bad. Yeah. Was terrible. He touched women back in 1997 before I was alive. That's terrible. He's coming off a little bit like a phony to me. And I don't like that. I don't like that. To me, own it. He's another one. Own it. You wanted Chauncey as the coach? Right. Then say that. And say, look, hey, I may not have known all the details about his past, and that I apologize for. I've talked to Chauncey myself, and he seems like the issue hasn't affected him or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Just say that. There's ways of doing that.
Yeah.
And everybody has handled the situation poorly. Everybody. And it's a mess. I hate these narrative driven arguments that like Dame is playing with a bunch of stiffs. I look at that roster. I don't think they're that far off. Yes, they need to do some tweaking. Yes, they need to make some changes a little bit here and there, but I don't think they're that far off. I really don't.
I thought at the beginning of the season or a little bit through the season, I thought there were like one or two players, probably two, but like nothing that you can't get at a trade deadline or that you can't.
What is the biggest thing they need? A perimeter defender?
Perimeter defender guard to put next to Dame. Yeah.
Norman Powell's not that guy. No.
Not really. No.
Norman Powell should be the replacement for CJ if he decided to trade CJ.
But even Norm is a better defender for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And he's bigger.
But then you have Dame, Norm, Covington, Nurk, and then who are you going to start at the four?
They need a three. They can move Covington to the four. They need a three.
Yeah. So that three, you know, if that's another three and D, then yeah, that works. You're right. They're not as far away as people are making it out.
They're not that far
off. Yeah.
They're not that far off.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, I just don't get this narrative that the Blazers are basically playing with the 2017 Knicks roster. Like,
They underachieved this year. They underachieved.
They've underachieved for the last 4 years, arguably.
I don't know if they underachieved. I think that they achieved to the point where they basically what they were. I don't think they underachieved.
I think they underachieved a little bit.
They were hurt all of last year. I mean, like really hurt. Like
last year,
I know a lot of teams have injuries, but the way the Blazers were hurt the year before that was ridiculous. And
The roster is better than that in 2020. It should have not been an AFC.
They underachieved
this past year. Sure. This past year, they underachieved as well because you know they should have been better than that. 2019, okay, they got to a Western Conference Finals. You want to say they didn't underachieve then? Okay, I'll give you that. The year they got swept by the Pelicans, they should have not lost that series.
That was bad.
That was bad. They underachieved then. Like, again, I think they fixed one of their issues, coaching.
Okay.
Potentially.
But we don't even know what type of coach Chauncey's going to be. We have no
right. But idea. I mean, like, I think they did a move that they needed to do. I think it was time for Terry Stotts to go.
Yeah.
That's part of the issue.
Yeah.
Now you make the right hire. A, you have the coach fixed. Now you make a couple tweaks, a couple trades in the deadline, or even trades in the offseason. You could fix what they're not that far off.
No.
To me, I just don't like how Dame has handled the whole situation. First of all, I think he's coming off like a little bit like a phony with the Chauncey thing, because I think he did approve of the hire and now he's reading the room and he's reading the fans' reaction to it. And now he's trying to come off like, oh, he's Mr. Diplomatic. And yeah, I feel the same way too. I hate rapists. Like, it's terrible, right. Disgusting. Like, no, you were on board with the hire. Stop it. Like, you were.
Just own it.
Just own it. And then the whole, I want to, like, if you want out, just say it. But that's my issue with NBA guys. They want to pull the trigger, but they don't want to be the bad guy.
Right.
And that's what it feels like it's coming. And that's what it comes off to me with Dame, is that he wants out, but he doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to be hated.
Right. I do think he plays this year in Portland, though. But I think it's a very, very, very big possibility this is last year in Portland, because it's a very, very big possibility that the same thing happens this year where they go to the playoffs, they're out in the first round, everybody's frustrated, and then what?
But see, that's the thing. If you're going to trade him now. Because if I'm a Trailblazer teammate, and I know Nurk has come out and defended him, and people are like that, but there's got to be a part of you that, like, pretty much has your star player basically saying, like, all you motherfuckers is bums. I need to play with other better players. Like, there's got to be a part of you that, like...
He hasn't said that, though. But that's... I get what you're saying.
That's kind of like what you're saying, right? Like, oh, we're not good enough. Like, yeah, these are bums. We need...
But he's making it more of an organizational issue than he is. Like, he hasn't, like, pointed at CJ. He hasn't pointed at Nurk.
But but if you're saying it's an organizational thing, then what? You're not saying you need a new scout.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
We need a new travel agent.
Right.
You're saying you need better players.
Right.
That's my thing. It's like, if you're going to go down that road, take the gloves off.
Right.
Like, don't have it both ways. And what Dame is trying to do is he's trying to have it both ways. He's trying to put the organization down and say, oh, they're a fucking chaos, but don't blame me. Don't be mad at me. I'm fine. Don't hate me. Chauncey Billups is a rapist, and I agree with you, fans. Don't hate me. Like, he's trying to have it both ways, and he's coming off looking bad to me, in my eyes. And also, I can't stop thinking, like, we're having a finals where you have two small market teams, two drafted teams, potentially having an opportunity to win a championship. I think, and you know, if you go back to 2019, two of the last three championships now potentially are teams that were built through primarily through draft and scouting and development, not super teams. I just hate this. I don't want to see Dame go down that route, man. I'm just disappointed, because if I fucking see Dame on the fucking Mavericks, listen, this is where I'm a little bit of a fraud too. You know, I'm a Laker fan. So yeah, I'm going to be excited that Dame Lillard's on the Lakers. I'm not going to care from a fan perspective. Yeah, I'm not going to care from a journalist perspective, you know, by an unbiased observer. Yeah, I don't like super teams. And the Lakers are not a super team. Let's also clear that notion up too, that the Lakers are a super team.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They're not a super team.
No.
There were people saying that this was the worst Laker roster of all time to win a championship last year, but somehow we're a super team now. It's funny how those things change narratively.
I was one of those people who said that.
The Lakers last year were a bunch of stiffs. But now
I don't think it was a bunch of stiffs. I just said that Laker team last year was probably one of the worst champions we've had in the past 20 years. And I stand by that.
They're worse than whoever wins this year?
No, I mean, that I said that last year when they won.
Right. Okay.
Right. Yeah, this year's
worse. I think that Laker team would beat any two of these teams.
I agree.
I think that Laker team is the favorite this year.
I agree. Which is not saying a lot about these two teams, because I said that about last year's Lakers team and I meant it.
Yeah, listen, you have inside knowledge on what's going on in the Trailblazers organization. Again, I'm looking at it from the complete outside perspective. I'm not putting you out there, but you know what I mean. You have inside knowledge. I don't. I'm just looking at it completely. I mean, I live up here, so I hear the scutterbug on talk radio and whatnot.
Right, right.
But I'm failing to see where and when Dame Lillard should get a freaking Purple Heart. Like, he's playing.
I'm with you on that.
Like, he's storming Felucia, you know, with these guys, like, and they're letting him down here. Like, I just don't see it.
And I have a problem with a few of his tweets as well. When the whole thing was going down, specifically when someone tweeted at him about the fans, or he kind of basically subtweeted someone who said something like, the fans are going to be sorry when he's gone, or something like that.
Dame is trying to get cute.
Yeah,
he's playing that game where every superstar plays, where they're trying to get too cute and trying to play the will he, won't he game, the sitcom game, will they, won't they. Like, dude, if you want to be out, just say it, put it out there, and wear it. Wear the hat, wear the heel hat. Like, you're a heel now, you're a wrestling villain, you're Roman Reigns in this shit. Like, just cut the fucking negative promo, shit on the fans, and get the fuck out of there. Like, just do it. In a lot of ways, like, I kind of have respect for what James Harden did because he didn't give a fuck. He was willing to be the heel. Don't like me. I don't care. I want out. In a lot of ways, I shit on what he did. I think it was terrible. I think it upsets a bad president, but in a lot of ways, I respect it. He wanted out. He did. He tried to get fired, and he did.
Right.
If Dame wants that, then do it. But don't play this game of kind of, sort of, maybe, want to, not maybe. And even if it's just like, hey, I want Neil O'Shea out, then go out there, say, I want Neil O'Shea fired.
That's what I think he should be doing. Right. If Neil's the problem, say Neil's the problem so he can get fired and you can move.
Do what Aaron Rodgers. Do what Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is basically throwing the GM under the bus. He can't stand him. Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's, you know, Aaron, personally, that's, if I was Dame's friend, that's the advice I'd give him.
Even like, though Aaron Rodgers,
if it's Neil,
Aaron Rodgers like to pretend like he's basically storming Felucia and he needs a purple heart because he's not playing with anybody either.
Apparently. Yeah. Just only made the NFC Championship game.
2 years. Somehow he's playing, you know, but somehow he lost because he didn't have, you know, another all pro receiver next
time. Tom Brady basically said, here's the football 3 times in a row in the second half of the NFC Championship game.
Yep. Don't get me started on Aaron Rodgers. You know that's just there for me to grab.
I love Aaron, but I can't.
Honestly, these situations mirror him. I love Dame, and it kills me that I have to kill him. But it's like he's coming off like a phony. He's coming off like a fraud. I'm sorry, he's coming off like a fraud. So.
But the reason why he can do it is because he's so well liked that people aren't.
But
questioning.
that only lasts you so long.
Exactly where you're at right now. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to come to the same conclusions that you're coming to right now, but it's going to take a few months. It's not there yet.
He's lucky he's in Portland, in an East Coast city where people see through this shit.
Yeah.
A big market with big media. You know, he's in Portland. You know, they got like 12 guys, like 12 guys and gals. Like, that's it. Yep. Right. That's just not going to fly in New York.
Because now that I think about it, like everyone who has the same opinion that you do, and I've said certain things too, like all those same people are from East Coast. I just put that together actually. Because I know my friends were like supportive.
Because it's like, you could see it. It's like, maybe I have a cynical eye for these things, but you could see it. Like, bro, just stop being a phony about it. Stop being a fraud about it. He's coming off like a fraud.
Yeah.
And then that press conference last week, what is that? Does he want to trade? Not want to trade? He's not. I don't think he's denying the rumors, but he's also saying he wants to be a trailblazer. So he's kind of like in the middle.
He said it was all false. He said it was all false. So he didn't say any of that stuff.
But then later on. Who's the writer? Henry Abbott, I think.
Yeah. Who's a legit.
Yes. He's legit.
Yeah.
So he's not some schmo out there throwing shit out there. He's legit. Right. And he wouldn't throw that out there if he didn't have it on good knowledge.
1,000%.
So, yeah, he's coming off like a fraud, man. I don't know. And I hate to say it. I'm a huge Dame Lillard fan.
Yeah. He's giving himself an out. That's really what he's doing.
The best way to do these things, man, if you're going to do it, is say, hey, look, I've given you motherfuckers 9 years of my life, 9, 10 years of my life. I just want a fresh start. You know, I don't want to necessarily be in a super team, but I just want to go somewhere else, different start, fresh start, a place that I feel like is going to be in a better position to give me a chance to win. Just say that, hey, you know what? Let's do this behind closed doors. Let's do it amicably. I'll let you guys trade me to, I want to go to these destinations, but make sure you get the good deal that helps your franchise. I have that much respect for the franchise and the fan base that I'm not going to let you guys sandbag it, or I'm not going to sandbag you guys, like make the best deal that you guys can within these parameters. These are the places that I want to go.
Yeah.
Do it behind closed doors. You shake hands, agree, blah, 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 salute. That's it.
Right.
Playing this media game and Dame's sister's cousin's brother said that he might want to trade.
You think he's there already? You think he wants out?
I think he wants out. I think he just doesn't. He's the guy that wants a breakup, but he doesn't know how to do it.
Got it.
So he's just playing passive aggressive games like.
And hope that
you look fat. Have you gained weight? He's showing up late. He's showing up with other women's cologne, women's perfume, smelling on him. Like he wants out. Just say that. That's where I'm at with it. I think he wants out.
I think he's a level below.
You think he's a level below that?
Yeah.
I think he wants to. I think he wants to stay in Portland, but I think he sees that there's just it. Like again, he's in that relationship where he wants, he loves the person, but right. he just knows that it's not going to work, and it's not, right. it's never going to work. Right. So, but he doesn't know how to get out of it. Right. So instead of just being the mature adult and just saying, "Hey, I want out," he's just playing this weird passive aggressive game where you're only going to end up hurting yourself more in the end, in the long run, because you're making yourself look bad.
Yeah.
And this is where you wonder if these guys have agents and friends that talk to them. They just have a bunch of yes men. They just have tell them what they want to hear. Yeah, Dame, they should have drafted like 13 fucking all-stars for you, and then you would have won. Yeah. Instead of saying the real shit, like, oh yeah, you know, CJ McCollum's not that bad. Like, he actually got you to a Western Conference final, and you right. only ran up against a dynasty.
Right.
You know, it's not like you ran up against the 2021 Suns. You ran up against Steph, Clay. I know KD was out. Draymond.
Literally the best rendition of the Golden State Warriors you can think of.
But hey, yeah. who's counting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to get out of here. I think we
can. All right. Let's do it.
no politics this week.
No.
No politics this week. No Jimmy Dore. No Jimmy Dore. Sorry, Jimmy Dore is great, guys. Don't hate us. Jimmy Dore is great. He is the great. He is the greatest thing to ever happen to the left. He is a really nice guy.
Don't get me started, man. I said what I said, and I stand by it.
Facts. Oh, man. Oh, scary moment in D.C. over the weekend. Did you see that?
I saw Rob was there, which is crazy.
Yeah, Rob was there. Yeah, that was crazy. I actually I listened to sports radio, and a couple people that were there, allegedly anyway, called in and, you know, basically recapped the scene. It was scary times, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you imagine that going to a ball game? No. Fucking, and you could hear the shots. I don't know if you watched the clip, but
yeah.
on the television broadcast, you could hear the gunshots outside. Like, it's so fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. I mean, we live in a world where that can happen anywhere.
Yeah,
that's the scary part, where it could be.
Let's not make this a rhetoric on like DC being so bad it's hood that it needs gentrification. No. Mass shootings happen anywhere. They literally happen anywhere. Columbine High School got shot up, and there's it's not exactly South Central LA. Like, I had to put that out there because there's other agendas at foot here. So just had to put that out there. So yeah, man. Prayers to. Whoever was at the game the other night and has to experience. I mean, imagine there you with your kids. You have to freaking.
It's traumatizing.
Hide in a bathroom or something, or run out of the stadium. It's crazy, man. So it's scary that's the world we live in. And then, do you hear about the guy in Colorado at the All-Star game?
Yes. And the crazy thing, like, these things get brushed off so easily. Like, it's like, oh, found the guy, had this. We got him though, and
everyone's
just
sigh of relief. Though it's okay. Imagine the psychos that we don't catch.
That's what I'm saying. It's scary.
My God, oh man, this world's going to hell. I swear.
Yep.
I swear, man. Each and every day, I feel it. We're facing our last days. You know what? Skynet should just take over. Just take over. No Judgment Day should have happened back in 1997. I get it, but just take over.
Right.
Just take over. Just done. Skynet, if you're listening, Skynet, this computer. Hey,
do it.
Take over. Just it's done. We're done here. We just hit control alt delete on all this shit and just take over. All right, man, we're going to get out of here. It's now officially Tuesday morning. This has been the long ass podcast day. So I'm going to get out of here. Josh, do you have anything for the listeners before we get out of here?
No, my guy Mike mock draft special is going to be dropping later this week. Don't really have a day, probably Thursday. The Bucks wrap it up tomorrow night. It'll be Thursday. So subscribe to the Dime with Josh Rodriguez.
Really good draft, man. I'm really excited about this draft. I think this is going to be one of the best drafts in years.
We'll see.
I think the first five picks all have a chance to be great
all-stars.
NBA players.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good draft. I can't wait to talk about the draft with you when the season's over.
Yeah.
So yeah. As for me, you guys know, obviously the show will be up here after we get out with the live stream. The show will be up tomorrow morning. I'm not staying up to edit the show, so it'll be up tomorrow sometime. In the meantime, man, go check out everything I got going on at MLB Bro. The baseball pod is on hiatus because reasons. I'll get into that more next week, but it's on hiatus for a little while longer. So we'll see. But yeah, check out everything I got going on at MLB Bro, Dead End Sports, live streaming every Tuesday and Thursday. So we'll be on tomorrow during the final, during game six, hopefully the final game, maybe the final game. And we'll be live watching it with you guys. So make sure you go check that out, Dead End Sports on YouTube. Yeah, thank you for listening, subscribing, all that good stuff. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Got some videos that blew up slightly. You know, Josh is apparently is like the ultimate wrestling heel right now. Yes. Oh, speaking of wrestling, go check out the Jeff versus the World presents I Am Not Dave podcast. It's a reason behind that name. Don't look at it weird. It's weird. It's a weird name, but it's a reason for it. Dave I am not Meltzer? Dave wrestling. Huh? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I know no one wants to be him in the wrestling world.
I am not Dave
Meltzer. Even I know that.
I Am Not Dave wrestling podcast. Go make sure you check that out. Me and my guy, yeah. Jeff Jones, we talk about wrestling, but we have a different take on wrestling than the normal wrestling podcasts and shows, man. It's a little bit of a wrestling sermon, a little bit, but, okay. Yeah, man, go check that out. We talked about Money in the Bank. We talked about the CM Punk promo 10 years after, talked about a lot of things. So yeah, go check that out. That episode will be out on Wednesday. We dropped it. We recorded tonight. It'll be out on Wednesday. So go check that out. Go follow Jeff at Jeff versus the World and follow me at the Manuel Brown. Follow this show at AGS Pod, Baseball Pad. I Love IL Baseball Pod, MLB Bro at MLBBro.com written out, MLBBro.com written out. And yeah, man, I'm done blabbering. I'm out of here. Long day, three podcasts in the books. Hardest working men in the show business. That's us. For Josh Rodriguez, I am Andy Brown. We are out of here. Peace.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.